His name is J.W. Boswell, works at a downtown restaurant, joins me now on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Mr. Boswell, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you making the time. And first of all, you got to tell me, you're a very successful sommelier and waiter in Seattle at a very nice restaurant. Why did you even bother to write this piece?
Well, dirty job, but somebody had to do it. I mean, somebody has to speak out against these people, and it's just common freaking sense, common economics, and somebody had to do it. Somebody has to stand up to them. I mean, let's face it.
Well, what I like about your piece is that you said, you know, let me start at the beginning. I was a snotty-nosed 18-year-old walking into a very nice restaurant and got my first job as a busser. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I just walked in, just a half-black kid from a ghetto family walking into this. I just saw a help wanted busser's sign. I walked in, terrified of the place at the time, and this hostess looked at me, said, you know, can you work? Okay, well, let's see your application. Handed it off to a manager. I got hired. I started busing, became more and more comfortable with it. And the boss, who was, when she walked into the room, the Imperial March would play. She was so stern. But at the same time, I'm thankful for her at the end, because she taught me so much discipline and so much about the restaurant industry. And she took me under her wing, although it didn't feel like it at the time. And you know, slowly I learned more, and I grew in that restaurant, and I moved from that to bartender assistant to server. And then I moved to Seattle, and another restaurant gave me and helped me out more. You know, I worked with a local sommelier, taught me even more about wine, especially Washington wine, which is fantastic. And I worked from there. Now I'm starting to get into management. They paid for my level one SOM class. And, yeah, and everything I am is because of the opportunity given to me by that low minimum wage job. You know, I was at the bottom. You know, I was at the bottom of a ladder, as so many low-wage workers are, and I chose to climb that ladder and get to where I am now. You know, and it's the reason I was hired, they were able to hire me, was because my price point for hiring was so low, because I, you know, had no experience. And I was able to use that job to leverage myself and pick myself up. And that door of opportunity is going to be closed for so many people if the minimum wage goes up. As is, by the way, a fact. I have right in front of me a report written by Cornell University talking about how minimum wage does have a big impact on unemployment for entry-level jobs and for unskilled workers.
Oh, tell us what it says.
Well, it says, it's written by, let me see his name. His name is, it's from Cornell. Well, yeah, it says, using the example of New York City, where is it? It shows that, here it is, yeah, by Richard Barkhauser of Cornell, 2004. And it shows that when New York State raised its minimum wage, it was associated with a 20 to 21% reduction in employment for less skilled, less educated workers. There is one of the biggest lies the 15 now red shirts are saying is that there's no data showing a minimum wage increase destroys jobs. Well, there's actually plenty of data. Just today, I'm looking at the this article, Military Times, about how several fast food restaurants on military bases have closed because Obama hiked the minimum wage to $10 an hour for federal employees. What you don't realize is that includes federal contractors, including fast food restaurants and military bases. And already a bunch of fast food restaurants have already closed. And that's only thanks to the small increase in minimum wage.
Right.
Imagine what a 61% increase will do. There's plenty of data. They're just choosing to ignore it.
Well, but again, let's get back to your story in particular, because what you're saying is, you know, because I was able to get that job, I was able to get on a ladder, and then I chose to climb the ladder. But there are people who say, wait, I can't make a living on that ladder, or on the lower rung on the ladder. What do you say to someone who says, you know, that JW should have been paid a living wage when he got that job because he was an adult?
Well, the living wage thing, first of all, is a fallacy. One, a single mom raising five kids can't survive on $15 an hour. A single adult, healthy, can live on a lot less than $15 an hour. There is no one-size-fits-all living wage. Let's get that out there first. Second, I mean, sure, there's a lot of people trapped in entry-level jobs, giving them more money for those jobs isn't going to help them. What we need to do is find those, is figure out how to help those few people get out of those entry-level jobs and help lift them up as individuals and individually out of their poverty. You know, I mean, because this one-size-fits-all solution is just ridiculous, and it has been proven to be a disaster.
Well, now, if this initiative that was filed ends up on the ballot, there's two interesting parts to that initiative. The first is it said you can't offset the $15 an hour against tip income. It's $15 an hour plus tips, and you say that's crazy.
Oh, no, it is. There have been multiple opinion studies that show that people tip less. I, as a tipped employee right now, I'll tell you how much I made doing, I was mostly serving, not managing, mind you. I made $38,000 last year, which is more, no matter how you do the math, than what $15 an hour would give me yearly. If my tips are gone, then I'm going to make less money, you know, because people are going to tip less. So they're not going to want to tip somebody who makes $15 an hour. That's absurd. And the whole thing about tips is, I did the math right there in the article. You can see the math I did for how much a server makes at a low-end restaurant, you know, at a slow night. We make good money as servers. And if you have trouble making money as a server, honestly, I've been doing this job for 15 years, you're probably not doing your job right. You know, that's sure. Bottom line to it.
Let me read what you said. Read what you wrote. Quote, a server works a six-hour shift, typical server shift, and has a total of 20 customers on a slow night at a low-end restaurant. Each guest pays a $20 average price and tips 18%. That's $72 in tips. After the server tips out 15% to the busser, hostess, and bartender, he's left with $61.20, plus $9.32 an hour for the 6 hours he worked, which is $55.92. Add that to his tips. He made $117.12 that night. In other words, a server at a low-end restaurant on a slow night makes about $19.50 an hour.
And that math right there, I've said that multiple times. I have yet to have one of the red shirt people refute that math.
I love your terminology. You're right. They wear red shirts.
I mean, that's what they are. I mean, you know, and it evokes the right image for what they are. Because let me tell you, these people, they're always about social justice, always screaming about, they are some of the most thuggish people you've ever met in your life. Ever tried talking to some of these people? It's like talking to a brick wall. They're just, and, you know, throughout this whole thing, so many small business owners have been like, there was a woman, Taylor Hong, I believe her name is, talking about her mother, who is a Vietnamese immigrant, owns a small restaurant. She herself works 7 days a week. The 60-year-old woman. She was brought to tears when she found out about this minimum wage push. And when I was at that hearing about this, there were some of those red shirt people behind me just snickering and laughing. They are nothing but hate-mongering, demagoguery. Some of them are all right, decent people, but for the most part, they've clearly drunk the Kool-Aid. I mean, those people,
well,
I mean...
You say talking to them is like talking to a brick wall, but brick walls don't call names.
True. And you would not believe the names I've been called by these people. Like, so many people have left comments on the internet. There have been some supportive ones, but so many have said things like, I don't believe your story, you know. I don't believe that this actually happened. And my thought to that is, oh, wow, you don't believe that a man of African-American descent could lift himself out of poverty and have a nice high-end job? Wow, that really shows, you know, where your mentality is there. You know, it's just ridiculous. Anybody who has a different opinion from them is evil. You know, it's absurd with these people. And I think that's ultimately what's going to be their downfall, is their own attitudes and their own kind of personality disorders, you could say.
Well, that was my next question. You wrote a piece that was very persuasive, very clear and eloquent, I believe.
Thank you.
For The Stranger, but it's in a very left-wing newspaper. What has the reaction been, JW, to the piece you wrote?
Well, first of all, they're not left-right, those things. I'm a libertarian, so I don't subscribe to that ideal. It's a pretty authoritarian newspaper, let's say that. But the reaction has been from both very positive and very negative. I've gotten a bunch of people, you know, messaging me or talk or run into me and say, you know what, I really like that piece. I really dug it. A lot of restaurant workers, you know, really love the piece. But from the, you know, snotty-nosed, white, privileged college kids who make up 15 now, I've gotten a lot of hate. But you know what? I welcome their hatred. If I didn't get any hateful comments from it, I didn't do my job. You know, I like it when the enemy attacks you. You know, it's a good thing. It's like Chairman Mao said, ironically.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love what you're saying and how you're saying it, because you are just hitting every single chord exactly in the middle. I mean, you're right on here, JW, and I'm glad you took the time to write it. Now, are you actively involved in this fight at this point?
Oh, yeah. I was one of the founding members of Sustainable Wages with Rick Fosler and the others. I'm helping them with their grassroots organizing and everything. And, yeah, I'm actively involved with it. I'm trying to get more people involved. I'm out there passing out flyers, exposing the lies of 15 Now every place I can. And just the reaction from these. Some of them, in all honesty, some of the people who are kind of supportive of 15 Now, kind of aren't, come out to me, talk to me, and I actually have a conversation with them. And it always ends with them saying, you know what, I'm starting to think now, when I show them the facts in our favor. But they're the Kool-Aid, the ones that have drunk the Kool-Aid, they just talk over you. They don't want to listen. You know, I've showed them papers about how the minimum wage has actually been used to enforce racism. Like, because, like I said, you know, black workers like myself, because of the failing public school systems, are going to be less skilled. You know, and there's been and if the minimum wage goes up, you have to pay someone, you have to hire someone with higher skills. And that's mostly going to be, you know, white people who come from better schools because they don't have the failing public school systems that African Americans are stuck in. I pointed that out, and the reaction has been just, like, laughing at my face, calling me names, and being kind of racist towards me, the red shirts have been, you know? But, yeah, I am a part of this fight. I'm definitely in there. I was one of the founding members of Sustainable Wages. And
well, let's give that website to our listeners one more time here, because I want our listeners to help out your website. It's
sustainablewages.org. You know, go ahead, read the info, like us on Facebook, and then just see what we're doing and do whatever you can to help us out, because this is going to really harm this entire, all of Seattle's economy. And it will have effects on the regional economy as well. And everyone, worker, employer, whatever you are, needs to come together and help fight.
That's sustainablewages.org. Let me ask you this real quickly before we end. You talk to a lot of restaurant workers. Honestly, what proportion of them are on your side versus the other side? Because if they're on the other side, theoretically, they get a raise.
Okay, for the whole thing about your supporting your rational best interest, mm-hmm. What if there was a kid who had a babysitter who fed him candy every night, and he told his father about it, and his father got a new babysitter who fed him vegetables? Has he just acted against his best interest, or did he have the foresight to understand that eating candy every night isn't in his long-term best interest?
Sure.
At the same way, most of the restaurant workers understand that this is not in the long-term in their best interest. They know their hours are probably going to get cut. They know the restaurant scene is going to suffer. They know their tips are going to go down. That's why I would say about 80% of the restaurant workers I talk to think that 15 Now crowd has, you know, are a couple rolls short of a bento box. Like, you know, they are completely against them. They're not actively against them, but they think that they're insane, most of the restaurant workers I've talked to.
By the way, most of the 15 Now people you've dealt with, where do they work or do they work?
They don't work. They wake up at maybe at 1 o'clock in the morning and cash their parents' paycheck from their trust fund and go home and drink their Pabst Blue Ribbon. Before I was a libertarian, I actually was a leftist, progressive person before my brain decided to wake up. And whenever I was organizing these people, I was always the only working-class person there were. You know, like most of them are all privileged college students who just don't know anything about life. And it's sad. It really is.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm so glad that you and I had the chance to talk. And again, I want people to go check out the website, sustainablewages.org. That's sustainablewages.org. JW, do you want to give a shout out to your restaurant?
I'll just say, you know, my.
Or do you want to keep the restaurant?
Boswell, but,
okay.
Yeah, the restaurant, I'm not representing my restaurant. I don't speak for my restaurant. I just speak for myself as a citizen of Seattle and a working class guy and as a member of Sustainable Wages. So I don't want to mention my employer because they're not involved in this.
Sure, I hear you. Okay.
But I'll just give a shout-out to all my fellow Seattleites who believe in freedom and liberty and economic justice and true social justice, which can only come from a free market, to come together and oppose 15 Now because there's better ways of helping people in poverty. There's better ways of helping people get opportunity than doing this job-killing 61% labor hike.
I'll
give a shout-out to all of you in the fight. Join me.
J.W. Boswell, it is a great privilege having you on the show. And anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. It is great having you here. Thanks. Keep up the great fight, J.W.